All right, we'll have this next half hour to conclude our fellowship. There's a song, a hymn that I just looked at, right? Three hymns after 9:25 that we sang in the section of preaching the gospel, right? The saints, it's good to sing hymns, yeah. And because they inspire, they encourage. And this is an old hymn written in the 1800s. And this hymn that I knew growing up. But in terms of this matter of caring for people and for mankind, especially for the unsaved, it is still very touching. And this is a channel of blessing. We won't sing it. I just want to read it. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready his service to do? Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing, make me a channel of blessing today. Then verse 2. Is your life a channel of blessing? Are you burdened for those that are lost? Have you urged upon those who are straying the Savior who died on the cross? Verse 3. We cannot be channels of blessing if our lives are not free from all sin. We will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win. Very touching. There's a verse 4 here. There's a verse 4 here. In some other kinds of hymnals, this is actually verse 3. And what I read, that what we have as verse 3 became verse 4. Nevertheless, this verse says, is your life a channel of blessing? Is it daily telling for him? Have you spoken a word of salvation to those who are dying in sin? Let me read it to you again. You may want to write it down. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is it daily telling for him? Him is capital H, the Lord. Have you spoken a word of salvation to those who are dying in sin? We need to have our heart constantly warmed for mankind, burdened, even aching for the lost. And this would be the unsaved. This would be even the barely saved. How many are just barely saved, minimally saved? As some said, saved but not regenerated, you know? But they are seeking, they're looking, you know? That heart of that spirit of the seeking shepherd, the spirit of the Lord, and that heart of the waiting and receiving Father, both in Luke 15, that kind of spirit, that kind of a heart, is what we need, dear saints. Again, even in the gospel preaching, in all of this we're talking about, if you don't have a heart for people, for men, for needy ones, for all kinds of people, we just won't expend ourselves if the heart is not there. If the heart is there, you will spend the effort. You will expend energy and time to take care of them. This is what it's all about. I say again, not about formulas, not about techniques. It's the heart, it's the labor. A mother just labors for the baby. I mean, never went to a mother's school, but just didn't know how to cope, didn't know how to have another life and raise up another life, but they labor. And that's the only thing they could do. Then they raise a family. This morning I was reading 1 Thessalonians about that new church that Paul spent supposedly just a month there, right? Paul, with that new church, Thessalonica, where Paul said, remembering unceasingly your work of faith, your labor of love, and endurance of hope. And that became the sort of the structure, huh? The structure of this epistle. And I'd like to read something to you in this, again, marvelous, you know, footnotes, right? Very quickly. And that's footnote 3:2 in chapter 1. Here, faith indicates the nature and strength of the work, love, the motivation for and characteristic of labor, and hope, the source of endurance. These, that's faith, love, and hope, depict the structure of the genuine Christian life, a life constructed with faith, love, and hope. Such a life originates not from the ability of the believer's natural being, but from the infusion of what God in whom they believe is. It is carried out by their sacrificial love. I like this word, sacrificial love, toward their loving Lord, who loved them and gave himself for them, and toward his members, whom he had redeemed through his death in love. How touching. This life lasts and stands unchanging by the sustaining power of the hope in which the believers look for their beloved Lord, who promised that he would come to take them to himself. Such a life is the content of this epistle. Now, this next paragraph is the main one. How marvelous that the Thessalonian believers could live such a life through the apostles' short ministry of less than 1 month, with an exclamation point. This encourages us, you and me, to preach the complete gospel to typical unbelievers in full assurance of faith, and to minister the deeper truths concerning the Christian life to new converts. And then he continued. I won't read how Paul commended this young church in Thessalonica of their genuine Christian life for the proper church life. Reveal in this very, very simple and brief way in this short epistle. Well, you can go look it up yourself. Isn't it marvelous? I mean, this new church, immature, right? I mean, brand new church. Yeah, the church that subsists on faith, love, and hope. And a church that what? That encouraged the apostle. So, dear saints, let's just preach the complete gospel to the typical unbelievers in full assurance of faith, minister the deeper truth concerning the Christian life to the new converts. And this you can do with the help of this very easily, this recovery version, and so many materials that we have that we can use to contact people with. But again, I say, dear saints, it is by faith, by faith we work, by love we labor, and by hope, or with hope, we endure. Yeah? I mean, even talk about endurance, it's a matter of hope. If you don't have that hope, you won't endure. In Romans 5, it's very clear. Eventually, endurance produces hope. All right, now we just have very little time here. I'll just highlight a few things in this outline that you get into. In number one, the group meetings should constitute 80% of the church life, and the gospel preaching, the nourishing, the cherishing, the feeding, and perfecting of people should be done in the groups. The entire spectrum range of the God-ordained way is practiced in the groups, right? Is practiced in the groups. Yes, individually, but the church as a container, right? As a container is found in the groups, the most conveniently, most readily, the place where new ones, unsaved, just seeking ones, or dormant ones can be cared for, can be fed, can be shepherded, and can be restored, healed, right? It's all in the group setting, right? How important the group life is. So we should not think the group is a bother, is a extracurricular stuff. I just come to the church meetings. We don't need the groups. No. You need a change in your view. It's 80% of our church life. It's the times outside of the church meetings. We are living the group life with one another. All right. A, he says, I fully realize, quote, I fully realize that our barrenness is due mainly to the lack of the group meetings. If we do not have the group meetings, it will be difficult to overcome our barrenness. It is so true in my experience. You can say the group is all inclusive. The usefulness of the group, the function of the group is all inclusive. So when Brother Lee brought back the matter of the God-ordained way, it is accompanied by this burden of the groups, the building up of a group church life. So this is not excessive. This is not extracurricular. This is 80% of the church life. The big meetings are like a trunk of a tree, but a trunk alone cannot bear fruit. The trunk needs tender, fresh branches. It is the branches that can bear fruit. Well, these branches are simply the group, right? The whole tree. You got a trunk. But you need all these branches in action, in activity, that bear fruit for this tree. So fruit bearing really takes place in the group. Fruit bearing normally takes place in the groups. And or the other way to put it is all our groups should bear fruit. If our groups are not bearing fruit, something is not right. It is the shepherd's tent, right? The group, right? in the Song of Songs, where we shepherd the young goats. All right. Two, we need to get some companions, at least two or three, with whom we can labor in the gospel. We should never work by ourselves. You see, so even within a group that may have 8 people, 10 people, 12 people, or whatever the number is, within that home group, there should be companions, 2 persons here, 3 persons there. All right? These are the ones, these companions, call them companions. They labor together in the gospel. They labor together to contact people. They labor together, right, on persons. When the Lord sent out, I'm reading here, when the Lord sent out his disciples, he sent them out 2 by 2. Just read Luke, read Mark. Always 2 by 2. The 12 disciples, I would say the 12 disciples are the first small group, New Testament small group on the earth, that I would say. And the Lord is part of that group, so 13, okay? But the Lord sent them out 2 by 2. Very meaningful. Right here is the twos and threes in action. It's just a pair in the principle of the body, in this principle of companions. So we need within the group gospel companions, shepherding companions, prayer companions. And these companions, they operate not just Friday night and at the meal or in the group meeting. They operate during the week. They pray on Tuesday morning here. Those two pray on Friday afternoon there, and they invite people, they visit people, 2 by 2, 2 or 3, right? Like that. This is very, very scriptural and very much the body way. So the twos and threes, I spoke on that in the Bay Area several times. One person just cannot endure. One person cannot last. One person is inadequate and imperfect. We need to take the way of the body, of companionship, of twos or threes. Is better than one. Am I right? Ecclesiastes. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. Reproduction, B, reproduction always requires cooperation between two entities, you know, husband and wife, the male and the female. Likewise, in order to bear spiritual fruit, we need to be paired with someone else. We should bear fruit individually or in, we should cannot bear fruit individually or in an individualistic way. That's for sure. That's for sure. If we try to bear fruit individualistically, the fruit we bear will be peculiar. I've seen that. I surely have seen that. Those whom we bear as fruit will be like us, bearing our characteristic of individualism. So we have a corporate parenting, right, in the church life. But doesn't mean we just pass the baby along. That's not the point. The point is a baby, you know, it takes, who said this? It takes a village to raise a child. There's some truth to that. There is a lot of truth to that. In the church, we raise babies, not privately or individualistically. We may labor on people one-on-one, but eventually they are born as fruit in a corporate way. D, the proper way to bear fruit is to get a companion so that we may learn how to coordinate. If we're willing to coordinate with others and be restricted, balanced, and adjusted, we will be strengthened to take care of others. Some saints, they just refuse to coordinate. They cannot coordinate. They only work alone. They are lone rangers. That does not work. It cannot work for long. The way we take is the way of the church, the corporate way, the body way, even the priesthood way, right? So we need to learn to coordinate. In coordination, that means you got restricted, you got balanced, you got adjusted. How wonderful that is. Then we together, we can bear fruit like a husband, a father, and a mother. They need to coordinate to bring forth a child and to raise a child. Let's just learn to do that. A lot of lenses learn in the group life and in this kind of companion life. The best way to select a companion is to pray and open ourselves to the Lord and to others. We should not choose a companion according to our natural taste. The Lord just put you in a certain situation with certain ones. You don't need to go to the ends of the earth to find a perfect companion. Sometimes we just take the Lord's sovereignty. And it would be quite ideal if your companion is also in your group, right? So you co-labor together for that group or in that group. Well, all these things, we should not be natural and have natural preference. We pray, we open, and through the environment and through fellowship, we will find that or those companions to labor together. F, the main reason we lack fruit is that we are individualistic. You know, in the FTTA, every trainee is paired with a companion. It's not up to them. We pair them. Oh my goodness, they got problems. Sometimes we have to adjust it. Sometimes we have to do something. But eventually, some situation, they say, oh, no, I got paired with this person. You know, after one term, they became the best companions. They learned the lesson of the cross to bear one another, to love one another, to labor together. And we have seen this. What a marvelous lesson that is. You know, it is in service that we are dealt with. It is in working together that we are touched, that we are crossed out, right? We here learn to respect one another. We complement one another, complement, right? We match one another. It's like marriage. And we bear fruit together. Even Paul, when he went out, he never went out alone. It started with Barnabas. And then later on, it's with Silas, am I right? And with others. Paul never was a lone ranger. He's the chief apostle, of course, a special vessel. But even he is always we in the labor. Three, when we go to preach the gospel, we should go in teams of three. Well, this is not rigid. This is not legal. But the point is, it should be plural, right? It should be not just singular. After many years of experience and study of the Bible, we have found that this is the most economical, effective way for gospel preaching. In the old days, you know, knocking on doors, the three, you know, in Taiwan, this and that. That is not meant as a rigid law, right? A legal principle. It is the principle of the body. it's just good to have two or three. Sometimes only one can show up, so be it. But that one knows there's another one who is praying. The sense is still, it's we. caring for this person, right? B, we must first be stirred up and then pick up another two saints to form a team to go visit people. In going out as a team, it is best that they're both brothers and sisters. These are somewhat from the door knocking days. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's the principle. It's the principle. All right. Number five, getting to the end here. Clearly I cannot finish this outline, but it's okay. Five, the way to carry out the four steps of the God-ordained way is by the groups. I mentioned this already earlier. The God-ordained way revealed in this. Brothers, are you happy that you know something called the God-ordained way, and it's not a joke? It's not a misinterpretation. That this is studied, researched, and discovered. There is such a way that is God's ordination. I'm very happy. I feel very safe to have this as a base of my labor in the church. Okay, it's by the groups. The God-ordained way, yes. The other side is the groups. Now, we would need the big meetings. We're not giving that up. In fact, we need to build those up even to be more rich and living and strong and attractive. But we're here talking about the groups right now, the 80%. So a singular person by himself just cannot practice the God-ordained way. All right. It takes the group. The church, if it's to that be that container to receive new ones, to gain increase, has to be a group church, a church with groups functioning in the God-ordained way. So the God-ordained way revealed in scriptures is the four steps, begetting, feeding, perfecting, and building. All right, we all know this. Begetting, we need to beget to produce new believers. Feeding, we need to feed them, cherish and nourish them that they may grow. Perfecting, we need to perfect them, not by one teacher, but by mutual teaching in the groups. We talk about this in the group meeting. We teach one another. But perfecting is mainly to teach through exhortation, to equip the new ones, right? So that they can also function and serve the Lord like we are doing. And number four, building. The perfecting makes them qualified to prophesy, to speak for the Lord, and for the building up of the church. This is important. If in the small groups, they are built up to speak, to function, to share, to prophesy, to be active, then when they come to the big meetings, they will do the same. B, our groups should reach the standard of making everyone function according to the God-ordained way with its four steps. Of course, in a group, you have ranges of maturity, range of activity, level of activity amongst the group members. Some are babies. They're just being cared for, being fed. Some are young ones, very young ones, new ones. Some are more experienced and older ones, etc. So it's like a family. A group is like a family. And each have their function according to their maturity and ability in doing these things. But look at Thessalonica. 1 month and they are preaching the gospel. 1 month they are laboring in love. 1 month they're sounding out the word that Paul talked about. It's even the whole region of Macedonia, whatever it is. Your word has been sounded out. Just a 1 month old baby church. So, dear ones, brothers and sisters, we should not say we cannot do that. We can. If we would faithfully practice these things. Top of the hour, I'm finished here.